If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
I made mention of a letter, and it says, my name is so forth and so on, of Congolese descent. She's from the Congo. I live in the Netherlands, and I became acquainted with your teachings just last week, thanks to my gospelhighway11.com. I am a new listener online, and on the evening of May 6th, I heard an excerpt of Knowing the Holy Spirit. I laughed, I cried, I learned, and I was totally conquered. I listen to you every evening, then I go to your channel on YouTube to listen to more. Your teaching technique is extremely effective in the sense that you use your expertise in psychology, Greek, Hebrew, coupled with an uncanny sense of humor to get the message through. Your no-nonsense attitude and right-to-the-point manner of presenting facts work a miracle every time. The second leg of your series, Walking by Faith, have burst open a mysterious door in my spirit and finally brought me to understand the need and the purpose to surrender. Finally, totally, unconditionally, uncompromisingly, and let the Holy Spirit be in control at long last. The tears that came along with that realization could have drowned a small town. I cried a river over myself, joy, that joy unspeakable. And this relationship with God at the steering wheel is the best gift I could have ever given myself. We always complain that our partners are dishonest, lying, cheating, unreliable, etc. Well, I've entered a partnership with the source of love, respect, protection, and salvation. I'm far from perfect, but he loves me and accepts me as I am. Whatever direction he chooses to steer my spirit in, I'll follow. It took me forever to understand and accept the need to do this. And this is changing my life. So thank you, man of God, for all the blessings. In the heat of the sermon, when you are into your anointing, so picturesque and fired up all wheels, you often exclaim, Lord, have mercy. And it's so funny that anointing is real. My dearest wish is to be one of your 7:30 audience members. They always find you in the best of shape and make you outrageously digress every time you try to make a point. I have pledged to come to Wincote and experience a sermon at Bethel Deliverance in the course of next year, God willing. All my thanks and prayers to you and to your spiritual family, Sister Paula. Now that's all the way over in the Netherlands. Now, I'm telling you, if the devil tells you that your giving is not reaching, tell him he's a liar and we have letters. I don't read every one that comes, but we get them from all over the world. Paul's greatest desire was to have Christ preached everywhere, and that is my desire. Let's go to 1 John as we continue to look at this wonder called the Holy Spirit. And we want to go a little deeper. Today will be the icing on the cake that we've been preparing about the Holy Spirit. After the icing comes the candles. And so we're not quite done. In 1 John chapter 3, John tries to answer a question that comes from the remnant of believers in Ephesus. Time does not allow me on Sunday to dig into all the nuances of the rise and the decline of the church of Ephesus, but suffice it to say, by the time we reach 1 John, they are in a significantly backslidden condition. Something unique has happened to them since the departure of Timothy, who was the last established pastor. They ran Timothy out with all the backbiting and the fighting and the murmuring and complaining. He would often write to his apostolic father, the Apostle Paul, and try to explain his concerns. And when you read 2 Timothy, you find that Paul spends a great deal of time trying to encourage his son. And it appears that these people have given Timothy a bit of an ulcer, because Paul tells him to drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. Anxiety always affects the digestive system. And so Timothy's having a certain battle internally about these saints down in Ephesus. This is driving him probably nuts, to the point where maybe in his conversation to Paul, he's even considering leaving ministry, because Paul's encouragement to him is to continue and don't let anybody put you down for what you're doing. These seem to be encouragements towards someone who is advocating leaving. And so Timothy does eventually leave that pastorate, and Paul would often use Timothy. He used him at Thessalonica. He used him at Ephesus, and he would use Titus. He used Titus in what we would call the suburban towns of Corinth. And so Paul was often sending young men to these places to help the saints become more established. But for some reason, Ephesus, after driving Timothy out, there was a void of leadership, and the devil hates a void. And so he sends in a group of so-called Gnostics. These are theologians, if you will, who say that nothing good comes in the flesh, nothing. Therefore, Jesus was not God because he came in the flesh. It bothered these Christians so much that they somehow reached out to the last living apostle, John. John has this reputation of love and comfort and nurturing. So these Ephesian saints reach out to John, figuring you walked with Jesus, you understand the principles of the kingdom of God, so please help us with this decline. And so John writes to them, and you find that in 1 John, the book is peppered with love. The second applicable teaching is that of character change. He promotes love, but he talks about character change. And this is evident in chapter 3, where he says, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because they didn't know him." This first verse, he comes right out of the box saying that we have a distinctiveness that alienates us from the world. Therefore, we should not seek to be controlled by the world. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. That's daughters as well, men and women as well, sons. God is the only one that can call a woman a son. And so he says we have this different ideology, that we are sons of God. Now, that's the blessing, but now he's going to go into the responsibility. Freedom without responsibility produces anarchy. And so he goes into the responsibility. He says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doesn't appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." So right now, we struggle with development. We don't know what we are going to be. We don't know where God is taking us. We don't know what he's removing nor adding to our lives. But we know when he shall appear, whatever he's doing in us will all crystallize and we will be like him. This is a physical representation. You're already, hopefully, spiritually like him. And every man that has this hope purifies himself. There we speak of a degree of sanctification. Because I have the hope that I will be like Jesus, because I have the hope
then I am connecting with Jesus, evolving with Jesus. I purify myself. I get myself ready. Like an athlete who's about to participate in the Olympics, they didn't just start getting themselves ready. They've been getting themselves ready for the last 3-4 years. So because you know that Christ is coming back, because you know that he is your Lord and Master, because you know he is God, you purify yourself. Amen. Hear me well, Bethel. God does not have to convict you of sins. You get to a certain point when you know what is sin and you purify yourself from it. Now, this is why the difference between the Christian and the person who has not yet come into harmonious relationship with Jesus is that they purify themselves temporarily because of the fear of hell. We purify ourselves permanently because of the connection and relationship. Amen. 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 If a man is physically away from his wife, he's working or on a trip or whatever, and he sees another woman, and the woman may be attractive and she may have all of the external things that for a moment temporarily grab his attention. He says, no, I can't go that way because I'm married. He tells every part of himself, I can't do that because I'm married and I don't want to pay the consequences of it. I don't want a dead rabbit and acid on my car and a crazy woman coming to my house looking to kill me and stalking me in church, telling everybody that my credit card didn't work at the Holiday Inn. So when the devil comes to tempt you, which is his job is to tempt you because you belong to Jesus. You tell him, I can't do that. You don't deny. You don't deny the attraction. You don't deny the temptation. You don't lie like Pentecostals. That don't even bother me. No, no, no. No, tell the truth. Man, that thing is pulling at me, but I can't do it because I belong to God. Yeah. God can't help you when you lie. God can't help you when you stand there. It's like you're going to the beach and somebody's wearing dental floss and you're standing there and your wife said, do you like that? Don't look at it and say, I don't even see it, baby. Tell the truth. Say, no, I don't like what I see. I like you. But don't lie to it. Tell my child, I don't see nothing. Yeah, you see it. And that's what God is saying. When the devil comes, don't live a lie. Just turn closer to Jesus.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
07316A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. A place where miracles still happen.
Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches invite you to our 2016 Holy Convocation, where people gather together to meet God. Our theme this year is based out of Mark chapter 8, verse 25. Second touch, regain your spiritual vision. Our guest speakers on Wednesday, August 10th, Bishop Keith Reed of Sharon Baptist Church. On Thursday, Bishop Maureen Davis, Open Door Mission True Light Church. And ending with our presiding bishop on Friday, August 12th, Eric Lambert, Jr. Daily agenda includes dynamic afternoon workshops, powerful praise and worship, edifying word from God, and a great time of fellowship. Each evening begins at prayer at 6 o'clock and service at 7 at the Bethel Deliverance International Church main campus, 2929 Sheltenham Avenue.